It's good to see you again, and today is a very special day as we have many families here represented and families of friends and family of families to celebrate child dedication. Child dedication is really parent dedication. It's a chance for parents to be able to say, God, we acknowledge that our child is from you, and we want to submit our child to you. I understand as a parent, myself included, that the day I have the most control is the day they're born. From that point forward, they have their own lives to live, right? We guide them and nurture them. And so we've had a chance to talk with each of the parents to say, hey, this is a day that is very special as a milestone for your child. But also as a church family, it's our responsibility. The reason why we do this publicly is because we're asking that you, our church family, be praying for the parents, be praying for the children as they grow up in the faith, and that you would live a godly example for them and to them, just as many people have invested in your spiritual walk and your journey with Christ that are not necessarily your immediate family. And so today we're going to dedicate 8 children this morning. And so the parents, they have committed to the following, to help, with God's help, to do the following. They acknowledge that their child is a gift from God and commit to loving their child unconditionally. They desire for their child to love God by following Jesus and to understand that they, as the parents, are the primary influencers and examples of their child's faith. But they need other people, like us, to help walk with their kids, to know who Jesus is and his love for them. And as parents, they will partner with God's family, you and me, the church, to commit to regular involvement in the church faith, development of their child, and the life of our church.
We see how important children are to Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Scripture says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering Jesus. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them.
So we're going to start with Jason and Stephanie. If you guys want to come up. They have 3 children that are going to be dedicated this morning. So you guys can come up on the stage here.
Boy, Kevin and I should have worn matching outfits. Look how good these guys look.
You guys come right in the middle here. So Jason and Stephanie Brueggemann. Who are you dedicating today? First is going to be Hannah, right? Hannah, Grace, and Eve. So let's have you guys stand right in the middle here.
So lots of people.
Hannah's up on the screen. If you want to get a close-up picture of Hannah, can I come on this side of you over here? Everybody can see, okay? Hannah, Carolyn Brueggemann. That's you. She knows her name. I dedicate you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father God, we pray Ephesians 5:1 over Hannah today, that she would live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ, and to always know that she has been set free because of your wonderful grace. We pray wisdom and understanding in Hannah's life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, and Eve, I'll come on this side over here. Eve, look at your pictures on the screen. Eve Mary Brueggemann, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, we pray Psalm 139:14 over Eve. We pray that she would know that she is fearfully and wonderfully made. And may she draw near to you and put her trust in you as her Lord and Savior, and that she would declare all your works to everyone she meets. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Grace. Grace, your picture is going to come up on the screen too. There you are. Grace, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, we pray 2 Samuel 22:3 over Grace, that as she grows up, that she would know that you are gracious and righteous, and may Grace share your compassion and strength with everyone she meets. May the Lord bless you, Grace, and protect you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Can we give a hand to the Brueggemann family?
Come on, one day.
So we have a gift for each of you. There's a Bible inside that you guys can read together with your mom and dad. The verse that I just prayed over you is in there, as Becky can get her hand out of it. And just a special welcome thank you thing in there too. So thank you guys and congratulations. All right, you guys can exit down the steps down here and down if you want to take the kids to Children's Church and you can come back up.
All right, our next family is going to be the Barrett family and they are going to be dedicating two children today. So come on up, Barretts. Another set of matching outfits. Wow. Guys are on point. And this is Tom and Kristen Barrett. And Tom and Kristen, who are you going to be dedicating today?
Billy and Rachel.
All right. We're going to start with Rachel, and I'm going to shimmy over here. Oh, you're going to shimmy my way. Now, if you're thinking we look a lot alike, it's because we're sisters. All right, Rachel Gwyneth, there's your picture up there. Hi, sweetie. Rachel Gwyneth Barrett, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray Isaiah 40:11 over you. Heavenly Father, I pray that Rachel would never be afraid because you are with her. May you always give her strength and courage. May Rachel know you as her God and Savior and declare all your works to everyone she meets. We pray this through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And then we have William Dennis Barrett. Hi, bud. Can I come stand next to you? This is Billy. Billy, you want to wave? You don't have to. Okay.
Billy, your picture's on the screen. Let me picture.
There's a lot of people over there. All right. So, it's all right. William Dennis Barrett, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the blessing of Billy and pray 1 John 5:4 over him today because of his faith in you that he would overcome the influences of the world. May Billy be strong, brave, and would he never be afraid because you are always with him. Mm. We pray this through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Good job, Amen. Bud. All right, can we have a round of applause for the Barretts?
Cards in here?
Oh, yeah. Don't want to put the wrong one in.
All right, so this is
there you go.
Rachel's. Billy, this is yours. All right, congratulations, bud. All right, you guys can exit down there if you want to go down the steps. All right, we're going to have Levi and Courtney come on up.
Hi.
And who are you bringing today to be dedicated?
This is Cameron.
Cameron. Cameron should be up on the screens here in a second. There's Cameron.
She's going to hate you for that picture. I'm just kidding.
Cameron, May, Glendenning. I dedicate you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray Daniel 12:3 over Cameron, that she would be wise and shine like the brightest of stars as she shares your love, your grace, and compassion to everyone she meets. May she come to know you and follow you very early in her life. We thank you. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Congratulations.
And we're going to have the Waldron family come on up. It's all right. Boy, all these little kids in service, and it's so quiet. They're so good. Dustin and Brittany, who do you bring to be dedicated today?
This is Harlow Faith.
Harlow Faith. All right, Harlow Faith. Oh, look at that picture. Oh, my gosh. All right, so Harlow Faith Waldron, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray Psalm 18, 1 through 2 over Harlow today, that from an early age she would love you and know you as her rock, fortress, and savior. May Harlow always take refuge in you and sing your joyful praises forever. It's through the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And this is Big Brother Weston, right? Do you want to wave? There's no picture. Good job. Can you
Let's
take
give
this
a round
for
of applause.
Your sister?
Good Congratulations.
Job,
Congratulations. Congratulations. And then Eric and Cassidy, come on up. Eric and Cassie, who are you bringing to be dedicated today?
Sage.
Hi, Sage. You're on the screen. Look, Sage, look, you're in the back. Let's dedicate Sage. Sage Christine Honan, I dedicate you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, we dedicate Sage today by praying 1 Corinthians 15:57 over her. We pray that she would know you in a mighty way and exalt your name throughout her life. May Sage always give thanks to you because you give her victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Congratulations, you guys. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's so good to dedicate children, to remind us that obviously faith is a choice we all make. And really, child dedications is a way for parents to say, God, we trust this child to you until the day that they themselves choose to follow you for themselves. And so it's an honor to be able to do that today. Hey, we want to continue our service by doing this week's Advent reading. We've been showing videos from each campus, our campus included as a part of that, so we can see different people from different places of the five campuses that make up Revive. So watch this video.
Hi, we're the Cleland family from the Springville Crossing, and this is today's Advent reading.
When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you provided for us. Thank you, Jesus, for this Advent and for just being there with us. We pray that you continue to watch over us, continue to guide us, and just blessings upon everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This Friday's Christmas. And so at the very core of the Christmas story, there's a question that begs to be asked. You think about Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth, Zechariah, the wise men, and the shepherds, all of that, the whole story. The question we need to ask is it believable? Is it believable? We're in the final week of our Advent series called Heaven and Nature Sing. And over the last 3 weeks, this being week number four, we've been looking at that moment, the culmination when heaven and nature or earth came together in the birth of a child. And so we've been looking at the response of the people throughout the scriptures. And it seems like everywhere that this child shows up, but the people connected to the Christmas story, their response is celebration through song. You probably heard that phrase, when heaven and nature sing, when we sang that song right before the dedications. That was their natural response, almost like a real-life musical was taking place on that first Christmas. And as we think about that, throughout this series, we've been looking at specific characters and their songs. The first week, we looked at Zechariah's song. His song was a song of hope. In other words, he was singing that salvation is for all people, not just a select group, for everyone. Mary's song is a song of surrender. She found out through the angel that she was to give birth to a son, but she was a virgin and not married, and what that meant in that culture. But her response was surrender, saying, God, not my will, your will be done. Let it be, as you have said. And then last week we looked at Simeon's song, the song of warning, that his song was telling us that Jesus is a gift, but with that gift comes a responsibility. What do we do with the Christ child? Each of us has to make a choice. There is no option. We have a choice when it comes to him. And so this week, as we look at this last song in the Advent series, Christmas Eve will be the final week of that series, but this week there's a different chord altogether compared to the other two songs. And it helps us answer the question, can we really believe it, this whole story? Is there proof? I encourage you to take your Bibles, which is located in the chair in front of you, if you brought one with you. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. It's on page 832 if you're using one of our Bibles. And if you don't have one, feel free to take the one that's right there in the chair in front of you. It's yours as a gift from us. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, again, page 832. And it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." So before we can answer the question, can we really believe this story or not, we have to answer the question, why are there shepherds in this story? Shepherds? Really? Like back in that context, I don't know if you've ever seen a shepherd. Becky and I had a chance to travel, and we saw a real shepherd one time on the side of a mountainside herding tons of sheep, and it was like the craziest terrain I've ever seen. And shepherds, why are they a part of the story? Well, if you're taking notes, first off, I want to just point this out, that Jesus is the good shepherd. And so as you read the Christmas story that happens in Bethlehem, which is the city of David, King David, he started out as a shepherd before he was a king. That's where he began. And so it seems like there's almost a nod to the memory of King David just in the context, the setting of Jesus' birth itself. And Jesus himself told us later on in the Gospels that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. So the image of a shepherd is this reoccurring theme for how God relates to his people. And when the shepherds show up in this story, it's an indication of the character of God and the character of Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem.
So not only are the shepherds important because they remind us that God and Jesus is the good shepherd, but it also shows us that shepherds were very ordinary. And so it shows us that ordinary life keeps going on. So up until this point in Luke, in Luke's description of the gospel, he's been focused on Old Testament prophecies, old women and unmarried virgins unexpectedly getting pregnant, angelic appearances. So we're a bit underwhelmed when it gets to sheep and shepherds in a field. You know, one moment Luke is describing the miracle of Jesus' birth, the Savior of the world being born, and the next, he's talking about sheep. It's like went from awe-inspiring to sleep-inducing. Taking care of sheep in our modern day is like taking out the trash or cleaning out the litter box or doing the dishes. There's really nothing too special about us or about it. And so what this scene of the shepherds in the field with their sheep is asking us to consider is, can we really believe the story of Jesus at the level of our daily routines? Not just at Christmas time, not just when you have the warm fuzzies and the anticipation of Christmas, but on our everyday life, the level of shepherds with sheep, or children with, or parents with young children up all night, sick and teething, teenagers trying to navigate social life and academics in middle and high school, senior citizens trying to get by on a fixed income. What does the miraculous story of Jesus' birth have to do with the everyday business of life? Well, this scene tells us it has everything to do with our daily lives. But why shepherds, like Kevin was asking? Because Jesus is our good shepherd, and because he came for ordinary people going about their ordinary lives. And in Jesus' day, it doesn't get more ordinary than shepherds and sheep. They were a dime a dozen. And so what we can learn is that Jesus cares about your work. He cares about your life. God sent angels right into the middle of the shepherd's workday, or in their case, they were on the night shift. So in the middle of the night, to announce to these shepherds the birth of Jesus. God didn't care that, socially speaking, the shepherds were on the bottom of the totem pole. In fact, it seems like he selected them especially because nobody really thought them terribly special. He came for the ordinary, humdrum moments as well as the spectacular ones. And we see in this passage both of those moments, because after this ordinary shepherds in the field with their sheep type of moment, something spectacular happens.
Let's continue. Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It says this: "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to them," the shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" So picture, suddenly, the shepherds, as they're out going about their normal life, grazing with the sheep and protecting them, caring for them, they're interrupted by the shocking appearance of an angel. And for the shepherds, they were probably used to kind of fighting off any predators who might want to attack. This was their normal routine. They would, in the darkness, try to just protect the sheep, the herd that was around them. They were on guard each night. But they're absolutely terrified in this moment by the sudden, mysterious appearance of an angel. And the angel urges the shepherds, saying, this is the Kevin paraphrase, "Relax. Don't be afraid. It's me. I bring you good news of great joy for so many people. Christ the Lord is born today in Bethlehem." And so the angel announces this and doesn't just say this, but gives them a sign so that they would know when they see this good news. How many of you have ever asked for a sign from God? They didn't even ask, but God says, "Here is a sign," through the angel. And as we wrestle with this question of whether or not we believe this story, the shepherds are graciously given a sign to help them in their unbelief. In fact, there are three signs in the birth of Jesus up to this point in the story. The first one, if you're taking notes, is this: the sign for Zechariah, which we talked about the first week. Zechariah's silence, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him while he was working at the temple, that he would not speak. He would not speak for 9 months until his son, John the Baptist, would be born. Normal life, angel appears, you won't speak, he can't speak. Until the child is born, then he speaks, saying his name is John, to verify the angel's message about his wife's unexpected pregnancy. The second sign was a sign for Mary, Elizabeth's pregnancy. This is Zechariah's wife. The angel told Mary that her relative Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant despite her old age. Medically, it didn't work. It wasn't possible. But when Mary went to visit Elizabeth and found her to be indeed 6 months pregnant, this was again another sign meant to verify that her very own unexpected pregnancy was of God, Mary herself. And then third, a sign for the shepherds today. The manger was that sign. An angel told the shepherds, "You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." So what is the point of the manger in this story? Now, the manger tells the shepherds, and it tells all of us today, that the Messiah, Jesus, he is approachable. God with us in every moment, ordinary or extraordinary. See, this sign, the manger, put the shepherds' fear at ease that the Messiah was not going to be born in this mansion or huge, elegant loft where they would be unwelcomed as shepherds just because of who they were in culture and society, but instead in a manger, a feeding trough in a barn. And most certainly the shepherds, they would have noticed when they saw this sign.
Well, before the shepherds have time to react to the angel's news or to go and verify the sign that the angel had given them, the angel is joined by a whole host of angels. So things really start to ramp up here in verses 13 to 14. It says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Now, this phrase, heavenly host, literally means an army of angels suddenly appeared. Now, the shepherds were terrified of one angel, rightfully so. And so now a whole army of angels appears in the sky singing the fourth Advent song that we're talking about in our series, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So there's two key concepts here, glory to God and peace to humanity. Well, glory, the Hebrew word for glory is kavod. All right, so we're going to learn a little Hebrew. Turn to the person next to you and say, kavod. You got to kind of kick it out.
Kavod.
Kavod, all right? It's kind of a heavy word. You kind of got to kick it out of your throat, and then it kind of falls. Kavod.
You kind of feel like you're spitting on the person next to
you. Yeah, a little bit.
It's not necessarily
That's why we wear masks. But really, it makes sense that it's kind of a difficult, weighty word because there is a weight to the meaning of it. Really, it has this sense of awe-inspiring wisdom and power. In fact, it says that Moses, the weight of God's glory was so much that he had to have a veil over his face or else it would kill him. And so God's glory, his power, his might, it is weighty. And so that's why in this passage, it's balanced out with peace. Now, the Hebrew word for peace might sound familiar to you. It's shalom. All right, say that one. That's a nice one.
Shalom.
Right? That's just kind of like, ooh, that kind of flows off the tongue. And so our English understanding of the word peace is often defined by what is not present. So unrest or fighting or tension. However, the Hebrew concept of shalom is more accurately described by what is present: rest, tranquility, security. So peace, for example, is when the kids aren't fighting. Shalom is when they're actually getting along. There's a difference there. There's a presence there. And so what the angels are declaring is that God's glory is bringing shalom. It's bringing a presence. It's bringing a power to earth. Heaven and nature are coming together. They're singing together in harmony as they never have before. Something so monumental is happening. It's shifting the divine and natural elements, bringing them closer to oneness. You can understand why later on Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "On earth as it is in heaven." And so after the song, Luke tells us the shepherds' reaction in verse 16. It says, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." The shepherds ran. They laced up their Reeboks and they got the heck out of there. And you can't blame them with an army of angels singing and telling this amazing news. And so whether they ran out of sheer terror or out of excitement or maybe a mixture of both, they booked it to Bethlehem to see if the angel story checked out. And it did. There was the sign, a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough. That's what a manger is. It's used to feed barn animals. Now, can you imagine some of our parents who just dedicated young ones today inviting you over to see their baby in similar circumstances? You know, Chris and Tom are like, oh, come see Rachel, and you show up and you're about to walk in the house. They're like, nope, she's all cozied up in the barn. Or maybe Levi and Courtney, you go to visit their new baby Cam, and you go to walk in the house. They say, actually, we've got her all nestled in the doghouse outside. She fits perfectly in his bowl. Isn't that cute? You'd take that as a sign, wouldn't you, that something's not quite right with these parents? But that was the sign for the shepherds. It's an incredible sign. It's an unmistakable sign of the supernatural, divine child born into the most humble of circumstances, to the most humble of parents, and announced to the most humble crew of shepherds working the night shift.
If you notice, this is the third mention of the manger in 10 verses. The first one's when Mary laid Jesus in the manger, when the angel mentioned it as a sign to the shepherds, and when the shepherds find Jesus lying in the manger. So if I told you a story, we got coffee together, and I mentioned one particular detail again and again and again, that's a pretty good sign that that has some importance to what really matters. So what's up with the manger? Why is it mentioned so much? Why is it one of the signs? Well, the manger's primary purpose is just to let the shepherds know that they're in the right place, that it's not still a matter of faith that Jesus is the rightful king, but that this is the spot. That's the purpose of the manger. And so throughout these stories and songs that we've studied over the series, God has generously met each person halfway. In fact, he initiated with them and he initiates with us by giving them signs to point them towards Jesus, the Christ child. But all the evidence, all the proof, all the signs in the world won't change the fact that we have to accept this story by faith. Every one of us has to accept it by faith. And the story of the coming Christ, it is unbelievable. It is fantastic. It is hard to believe because it's so good. And at the end, it's still a matter of faith. For the shepherds, for Mary, for Elizabeth, for Simeon, for Zechariah, for Joseph, for me, and for you. There is no evidence that will help you to believe anymore, unless you are willing to believe for yourself.
And the final verses of this section remind us that that's true. The story wraps up in verses 17 and 18. It says, when they, the shepherds, had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They were amazed. Did they believe? We don't know. Maybe. But being amazed is a good start to belief. Because whatever the manger means, whatever you may or may not yet understand about this child, whatever signs have been shown to us in Scripture, or maybe signs in your own life, our first and proper response is to say, wow, that's unbelievable, in the best sense of the word. It was unbelievable to everybody who heard the news that night. And there's no false advertising here. We're asking you, we're inviting you to believe in the unbelievable. We're inviting you to be open to a God so good that he sent his son from heaven to earth to initiate the coming of his kingdom here, now. It is still coming. It is still unfolding in every detail of life. That heaven and nature sing because Jesus is king of both of them. So I want to invite you to consider, could you believe that Jesus is divine enough to be king of heaven and earth and human enough to want to be our good shepherd?
We want to transition into communion at this time. As you walked in on the left by the door, you should have received the elements. If you did not, would you just raise your hand? We want to make sure we get that to you. If anybody needs any of the elements. Anybody? I think a couple people in the back. Ushers, if you want to just hand some of those out. You might be thinking, this is a weird transition, talking about Christmas and then going right to communion, remembering the death of Jesus. But remember, Jesus himself said that he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. That he went all out. There was no halfway. And so in this season of Christmas, we have to remember that Jesus came with the purpose to die on our behalf. That's why he came, to set us free from sin and death and to take our penalty, our sin upon himself. All we have to do is believe in, by faith, trusting that he is who he says he is and that he did what he said he'll do. So I ask that you take the communion elements. And we remember, if you want to peel off the top of the cracker, that Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he was with his disciples and he took the bread and the meal and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, "This represents my body, which is given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. And then after the meal, as you peel back the top layer of the cup, Scripture tells us that Jesus gave thanks. And he took the cup and he said, "This represents my blood, which will be poured out for you, for the forgiveness of many sins. This is a new covenant. You'll be washed clean." Let's drink and remember. Drink this in remembrance of him. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you are our good shepherd. We thank you that you protect us, you guide us, you lead us, and that you gave up your life for us, the ultimate sacrifice of love. There is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friend. We thank you that you entered into our world, that you stepped into humanity, taking on flesh, coming in the innocent form of a child, coming to shepherds, coming to individuals, even giving a sign so that they would not miss numerous times that you came to save the world and to save us from our sin. Thank you for this unbelievable, fantastic story that is real. Thank you that you are God with us, Emmanuel. You're with us in every ordinary moment, like the shepherds out taking care of their flock at night, to us in our routines of our days, when no one's around us, when we're doing the mundane, what we may seem like is nothing at all, to the extraordinary, the special moments. God, we ask that you would help our faith to increase as we trust you with all that we are, giving our lives to you, just as you gave your life for us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.